Welcome back. This is Chris, and this is the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the highly guarded secrets of what it takes to be successful in all areas in your life, in real estate, in business, in internet marketing, and we unveil those key secrets to help you excel as an entrepreneur. And today, I am so excited to bring on a guest that is just a phenomenal individual in the real estate market, and his name is Mr. Jeff Armstrong, and I've actually had the pleasure of learning from him as a real estate instructor in the real estate industry. And he's a self-made multimillionaire from real estate investing. And truly, Jeff has created his wealth through being straightforward, honest, and dedicated to helping his students succeed. Which, if you've been in the real estate industry for education, there's a lot of people out there that talk the talk, but they don't always walk the walk. And what's great with Jeff is he started out getting his California broker's license back in 1996, and he went on to learn the hard way about what it's like being a landlord. And what he searched for, he found a better way to wealth, and he found it through stumbling onto the seller finance note industry, which I'm going to have Jeff explain for you. But once he found this industry, there was really no looking back for him on other real estate strategies. And that's why today he has become one of the top leading experts in the note industry in the country. He's been a note practitioner for the past 18 years. He is the founder of Secrets of Paper, which teaches entrepreneurs the power of buying and brokering real estate through secured notes. And he really teaches entrepreneurs just to discover and understand if note buying is a fit for their investing strategy. And again, you know, Jeff's straightforward, honest business teaching style is what makes him a huge success in the real estate education industry and why his students excel from his teaching in the note business. So Jeff is also an accomplished author, a speaker, a trainer for one of the largest real estate investing companies in the nation, and he's a member of the Cashflow Association's Million Dollar Club since 1996, and he was also deemed the prestigious title of ACFA Master Broker for Private Mortgages back in 1997, and he's also closed over 1,400 note transactions, so he definitely knows how to teach you how to do it and be successful. So without further ado, I welcome Mr. Jeff Armstrong to our show. So welcome, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Good, Chris. Thank you very much. What a nice intro.
Absolutely. So I kind of want to get into your background because I know from what I've learned from you and your background, you started out as a real estate agent, correct? And then you got your broker's license and started doing real estate investing as a landlord.
Well, kind of. I started out, my first property I bought when I was 19 years old. I worked at a grocery store, and I befriended a guy. We became friends. That was about 12 years older than I was, and he was into real estate, and he was a landlord, and I would go help him on the weekends evict tenants and clean up apartments for more tenants to move into, and he kind of got me in the mindset of getting into real estate. When I was 19 years old, I bought the old Dave Del Dotto no money down system. I don't know how many people remember Dave Del Dotto, but he was an infomercial guru in real estate with the white suit on sitting in Hawaii. Well, I bought his little course, and at 19 years old, I actually used the Dave Del Dotto methods to purchase my first property. It was a triplex, three units. I lived in one unit and rented out the other two. And then I just continued to do that until about the age of 25 when I had quite a few properties, 27 doors total, and I really got into being a landlord and owning real estate. The attraction to it was always just because, you know, you buy low and sell high and you can always make money, and then getting that passive income and all that kind of stuff that we all talk about. Was absolutely the attraction to it, you know, letting your money work for you instead of you working for your money.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, I mean, you started at such a young age as a real estate investor. So what brought you over into the note industry, though? Because you were working with, you know, traditional brick-and-mortar properties.
Right. Well, that's kind of a longer story than we probably have time for. But in short, I got really tired of being a landlord, dealing with the tenants, termites, toilets, and taxes, and turnover. You can add another T to it. But being a landlord has its drawbacks and is very time-consuming. And at the time, you know, at the age of 25, when I got into the note industry, I was literally working night crew at a grocery store and fixing up and taking care of my properties during the daytime. It was a full-time job. And I went to this one workshop in 1991, and the guy in front of the room said, be the bank and not the landlord. And I'm like, wait a minute, I can be in real estate and invest in real estate without having to deal with tenants, termites, taxes, toilets, and turnover. And I was immediately drawn to it, to the note industry. And what he talked about and what notes basically is instead of buying the properties, we buy notes from individuals that are secured to the properties. So in essence, we are the bank receiving payments on a mortgage payment rather than the person making the payments on a mortgage payment and having to deal with the maintenance and all the issues of owning a property. In trying to explain it briefly on a podcast like this, if someone has a property, usually it's free and clear. When the seller of the property carries back the financing to facilitate the sale of the property for the buyer, they just created a seller finance note, whereby the buyer of the property is now making mortgage payments to the seller of the property. So there's no bank involved, there's no mortgage company, there's no lender. It's the individual seller, an individual person, that has carried back the equity in the property in the form of a note that the buyer pays just like they pay a mortgage payment. So what we do in our industry is we purchase these notes at a discount, depending upon what type of property they sold, the terms of their note, the credit of the buyer, and all that good stuff. We buy these notes at a discount. We don't buy bank notes. We don't deal with banks or mortgage companies or institutions or anything like that. We seek out and find the individuals across the country that have carried back these types of notes, and we market to them in the hopes of buying and purchasing their notes.
That's
that
amazing.
A good enough short explanation?
Yes, that's perfect. I mean, it's not as complicated as maybe sometimes people look at it. So if you could explain, like, what are the benefits for someone for a homeowner that owns their home to go this route and create a seller finance note?
Well, in this market today, and really in any market, seller financing is only another option to sell a property. Whether it's a house or commercial property or a piece of land or a mobile home with land, it really doesn't matter what type of property it is. But what seller financing is, it's just another option for sellers to sell their properties. In this market today, which is 2012, buyers of properties out there are very – well, maybe the buyers aren't limited, but the options that buyers have to purchase properties are very limited, meaning they can't qualify for traditional conventional financing as easily as they used to. You know, I like to say that, you know, there used to be a box that people had to fit into to get a loan from a bank or an institution. Now that box is more like a sugar cube. And so the actual buyers that are ready, willing, and able to buy, you know, sellers' properties are very few and far in between that can actually qualify for those loans. So one alternative, one way to sell properties other than using traditional financing is to use seller financing. Seller financing the advantages of it are that they can keep the price set at the property, the market value at its highest point. You know, they can offer it to a much larger pool of buyers. So not only now are you offering your home to all of the buyers that can qualify for loans, you're offering it to all the buyers that can't qualify for loans. So it opens up the buyer pool for your property into a much larger pool of people that can actually buy your property. Most of the time when you're selling a property on seller financing, you're selling it on terms. And terms is what sells the property rather than the sales price. Because we all know what realtors do when they offer a property and the property isn't selling. What's the first thing they do to try to sell it is they lower the price. And they keep lowering the price until they sell it. So what seller financing does is, you know what, here's the price. This is the market value. This is what we can get an appraisal for. This is what we're going to sell it for. And you're going to buy it for that sales price because we're offering you terms. And that's most of the time when someone offers seller financing in the right way, they can sell a property within 45 to 60 days rather than maybe the 6, 8, 9, or 12 months that it takes to sell it through traditional methods. So solar financing is having a huge impact in especially this economy and this real estate market these days, because there's so much more solar financing going on because people just want to sell their properties, and that's one way that they can do it.
That's phenomenal. Now, do you teach homeowners how to structure that note the right way? Because I'm assuming that if they structure it the wrong way, they could actually lose money. So you want to do it the right way, correct?
Right. Yeah, we can. We do talk to people before they sell their properties and give them suggestions on how to structure it. We got to keep ourselves at a distance, though. We never talk to the buyers of the property. We only talk to sellers. We will instruct them on how they should structure the note. Then the sellers go out and they do their best to structure a note properly. The reason we like to talk to them before they structure the note is for them to have the most valuable note possible. Because a lot of the times when sellers carry back notes, they're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they have to. They have to do it to sell the property. So if we can tell the sellers how to structure their note properly, after they carry back the note and collect the first payment, they have the option of selling all or part of that note to get a lump sum of cash now instead of waiting for those small payments over the length of the note.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. And so with this type of strategy, I mean, it's a benefit for both the buyer and the seller because the transaction can go quicker, and it's a win-win-win for everybody involved in the transaction. So I'm curious, the people that you work with, a lot of times, when do people come to you in the process to sell their note typically?
Well, probably 90% of the time, people contact us after they have a note. So someone, you know, across the country, this is a nationwide thing, United States, 50 states, they come to us after they sold the property and they're already receiving payments on a note. So that's who our main clientele are. That's who we market to. We market to people who have sold their property, carried back a note, and are now receiving payments. So most of the time, 90% of the time, those are the people that contact us first. The other people that contact us are, as we talked about for a second there, realtors, people that want to sell their properties that are having problems selling it, people that are trying to sell difficult properties like a gas station or a marina or a church or a mobile home with land because, you know, no one gives loans on mobile homes and land anymore. A piece of land, if they're trying to sell a piece of land, we can help them try to sell a piece of land by structuring a note and offering terms. And so maybe that about 10% of the people that contact us are those types of people that contact us before they actually sell their properties.
Oh, wow. Now, do you work a lot with realtors? Do realtors bring you clients, and are they pretty informed nowadays on how to use seller financing strategy to help their clients?
Well, yeah, I got to say, and, you know, no offense to realtors out there. I'm a realtor too, California real estate broker. But most realtors out there, all they're really taught to do is how to list a property for sale. They're not actually taught how to sell a property. So the realtors that contact me, a lot of times they don't have the drive or the wherewithal to create a strategy for their clients to sell their properties using seller financing. You know, they don't want to take the time to get educated. They don't want to take the time to, you know, put a few different types of ads in. They don't want to be laughed at by some of their colleagues. But it works. I mean, we've done pre and post, you know, before they sell properties and after they sell properties and buy the note, anywhere from a $10,000 property on up to, you know, multi-million-dollar properties we've helped people, you know, carry notes on.
Wow.
And it actually does help people sell their properties faster and for more money. So the realtor side of it, we don't get a whole lot of referrals from realtors because they're just like, you know what, I'm going to list a property and we're going to let someone else worry about selling it or getting finding a buyer. And it's the few realtors out there that have the persistence and have the enthusiasm to go out and find these buyers that are open to our creative type of selling strategies. And those are the ones that work best for us. But they're few and far between.
Right. Right. It's so surprising, though, because you do see a lot of ads and things where people are doing, trying to self-finance themselves with their own home. So interesting concept, but I guess, you know, you have to be open-minded for that industry. So I'm curious, you've been in the industry, you know, for many years, and you've seen a lot of different cycles in the real estate industry. And what do you see as the major real estate trends now for our current state of economy in 2012?
Well, I've been doing this since 91, so I'm in it. May this year will be 21 years as I've been doing the note business. And I've got to say, not because I'm partial to note investors or anything, but note buyers and note investors across the country here are some of the most knowledgeable real estate people in the country because we buy notes in every state. I've closed deals in over 42 different states across the country, so we really need to know the markets that we're buying these notes in. You know, our goal as note investors is to buy notes and collect the income, the passive income on it. I call it extreme passive income because there's no tenants, toilets, taxes, termites, or turnover. So that's our major goal. So knowing that, and I preface the answer to this question this way, because knowing that investors are some of the most knowledgeable real estate people out there, we see things a little bit differently than maybe the rest of the market or the news sees the real estate market. The real estate market, you know, there are areas right here in Southern California where I'm at that actually went up last year by 20%. Very small pockets there. And then there's other areas that still went down another 5 or 10%. If you go nationwide, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say, you know what, I think this year in 2012, I think prices are going to go down a little bit more, especially here in California. Not a tremendous amount, but maybe, you know, 5, 10% at the most. Mm-hmm. And but there, again, there still are pockets, areas where their real estate is actually going up in some areas. So I really think that we've seen a really low period the last two, maybe even 3 years. You know, we've been at the bottom of a wave. We're looking now at the note industry itself, and we're just talking about the note market and the note industry. We're on the crest of a wave here. It's starting to come up. I think maybe 2013, 2014 for the note industry is going to be the top of a wave, and then you know it'll probably taper off again. But this is the time, if anyone has ever been interested in notes or the note business or buying them or brokering them as a business, this would not be a bad time to jump in before everybody jumps in when it's going really good.
Right.
As far as real estate, all we need for real estate to do is stabilize. Once it stabilizes and once prices aren't going down anymore, then that's when the note business is really going to thrive again.
Wow. Very, very, very incredible insights.
Hi, you're listening to The Chris Gilbertson Show, and this is an exclusive interview with multimillionaire Jeff Armstrong in the seller and owner financing industry. And just real quick, if you've ever wanted to learn how to broadcast your message and reach laser-targeted leads and an affluent market base for your business, head over to chrisgilbertson.com to learn more about the persuasive power of podcasting and how it can help you gain instant expert status in your industry and your niche. So again, without further ado, we're heading back over to Jeff Armstrong's interview on the seller finance note industry.
You do notes all across the country. I mean, that's a lot to keep up with because most people just kind of focus in one area. I mean, how do you keep educated on the trends and what's going on in the marketplace?
Yeah, for beginners, I mean, the answer is, you know, go to workshops and buy products and books that people that are currently active in the note industry are doing. Follow those people that are in the industry. I keep myself educated. I mean, I've been doing it for 21 years. I stay educated by doing deals. I mean, every deal we do in every little different city and county that we do deals in and we close deals in, we learn about that real estate market. We learn about that economy, and we make sure we understand it before we sign that check. For people that are just getting into this type of an industry, you know, follow someone, connect with someone that is a current practitioner in the business. You don't want to try to follow someone that has a big name just because someone else bought their products or went to their workshops, because some of them aren't in the business. They aren't current practitioners. You really want to align yourself with someone that is doing deals in today's market, that is currently in the business, that is actively marketing for their own business, and not just picking up notes from brokers and teaching stuff that they used to do, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago even. That doesn't work today.
Right.
The market is constantly changing, and you really want to align yourself with someone that is actually in the business, and not just some person that has information.
Yeah, absolutely. You want someone who's doing it on a daily basis, just like, you know, you've taught a lot with that. So that's phenomenal. Now, if you had to start over today, like square one, and you're just getting started as a real estate investor, what would you suggest people to do in today's marketplace to succeed?
That's not a fair question. I'll answer it twice. First answer is, well, obviously notes, you know, because look, if you haven't been a landlord before, buying and holding property is fine. I hear about people, and, you know, there's so many different ways to make money in real estate, and I am not dissing any of them. I don't want to disrespect any of them. You can make money. There's so many different ways to make money in real estate. But this is just my opinion and my two cents. I did the landlording thing. I did the buy and hold. I did fix and flips. I bought REOs. I mean, that's how I acquired all those properties when I was younger. And being a landlord, for me, just was not what I was meant to do.
Right.
Think of it this way. Someone says, hey, I've got a $300 positive cash flow on my property. Isn't that good, Jeff? Well, yeah, that's great. I'm happy for you that you're covering your expenses and you have a $300 positive cash flow every month. But what happens when the water heater goes out and you have to put a new water heater in that property? Well, that's about $1,200 or $1,500. So there goes 4 to 5 months of positive cash flow. Where's your positive cash flow now? Non-existent. And God forbid something else happened during those 5 months and you have to outlay money and now you have negative cash flow. So I couldn't believe every year how much losses I had on every single property because of all the maintenance and all the headaches and all the turnover and all the termites and taxes and stuff that you have to deal with as a landlord. So I can see that, okay, if you buy a property for all cash, you know what, and you have some passive income, that'll cover the maintenance and everything and taxes and insurance every year, and you'll have definite positive cash flow every single year. But in reality, the reality is something's going to break. It's going to use up your positive cash flow, and it's going to be negative again.
Right.
So knowing what I know now, I would say buy notes. When I buy a note, I have no taxes to worry about, no termites, no turnover, no maintenance. Their water heater breaks, that's their problem. Their roof leaks, that's their problem. I just collect the mortgage payment. If they don't make payments to me, I have the right to foreclose and take her property away. That's all I worry about. My biggest thing every day is that I want to go to my P.O. box and get a check. I want to go to my P.O. box and open it up and find a check in there every single day I go to the P.O. box. If I have even an inkling that there's not going to be a check in my P.O. box, I will not go to the mailbox that day. I will not even, because that will bum me out. So our goal as a note investor and as a note buyer, you know, when we say we have extreme passive income, that, you know, what if it's a $300 payment on a mortgage or a $1,000 payment on a mortgage that people are making to us, that is 100% extreme passive income. I have no expenses on it. I have no maintenance to worry about, no taxes, no tenants, no toilets. And there's nothing like the note business. Some people might be saying and listening to this going, well, if it's so great, how come everyone's not doing it? Well, you know what? It's a very simple business, but it's just not that easy. You know, there's seven simple steps to the business. It is a business. It is not a get-rich-quick thing. It is definitely a business that takes time to develop and produce and get things to go. I've had 21 years to, you know, narrow down and tweak my marketing and my presentations and negotiating and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, thank goodness I've been able to last this year. I'm very grateful for the experiences that I've had, and I look forward to more success as well. But there's nothing like the note business. You know, in today's country, today's economy, and today's real estate market across the country, you know, I would venture to guess maybe there's about 200 full-time people actually in the note business, meaning that's all they do. They do nothing else.
Wow.
And then maybe if you expand that to some part-timers and to some people that dabble in it, maybe there's 1,000 or so people across the country that are actually dabbling in the note business. But it's just, there's nothing like the note business.
Right.
You know, you can go out and you can choose to do fix and flips, and you can go out and you can make 100 offers on 100 houses and get a house and fix it and flip it and make 20 or 30 grand, and that's great. There's a lot of that going on right now. You can buy, you know, short sales. You can buy foreclosures. You can do wholesaling and all those other different strategies, and those are great. I'm just saying, knowing what I know now, if I had a choice and I had to start over again, I would still stick with notes.
Right.
How's
well,
that my answer? Sorry it took so long.
No, it's fantastic. Because, it does make a lot of sense. And do you consider the note industry kind of untapped? Because it is a really small niche industry.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's untapped because people have been buying notes for over 60 years now.
Right.
And people come and go and come and go. And what happens is, you know, people jump on the bandwagon when things are going good. Well, you know what? Things aren't going to go really good until 2013, 2014-ish. And the time to get in is before it gets really good, which is right now. And we're on that, we're riding that wave up, you know, we're starting to come up on the crest of a wave here, and things have been happening the last several months that we see signs where this is just going to explode again. And, you know, this month we closed 3 deals, and we've got 9 in the pipeline, and we, you know, that'll be great to get those closed in the next couple of months. But, you know, a decent month now is closing, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 deals a month. And
wow.
When you're at the height of the market, you know, we were closing 15, 20 deals a month. So, you know, that's when it's going to be really good. But to get your base knowledge and get your experience in, you know, the best time to get into something is before it's hot, you know. And this business has been hot and cold and hot and cold. It goes up and down. But, you know, we're right on, again, how many times have I said it already? We're coming up on the crest of a wave here. Things are going to be really hot in the next couple of years. And those of us that are in the business are just, like, salivating, waiting for time to go by until it hits again.
Absolutely. Now, can you explain a little bit more about why it's going to be so hot in 13, 14? Is it because of the seasoning of the notes? Or what is the main reason why that's the
no,
hot?
It has nothing to do with seasoning. It doesn't have much to do with seasoning. It has to do with the real estate market. What happened about 3 years ago, a lot of the note investors and institutional note buyers that were out there were buying notes and securitizing them on Wall Street. So they were putting money out there, and they were buying as many notes as they could from us and securitizing them on Wall Street. When all that got shut down and they couldn't securitize anymore, and when the real estate market started going down and everything started crashing, the majority of our investors closed their doors. So one of the reasons that it's been so hard for so many brokers, a lot of brokers got out of the business, and a lot of investors had to get out of the business to start cleaning up their foreclosures and their REOs on properties that on notes where they bought properties on. And so they all kind of went out of business. But what we see happening now is we've seen some interest in some of those groups coming back into the ballgame and wanting to buy notes again with different criteria and such. And when we get more investors back into the game, we're going to have much more competitiveness in the market, and investors will be paying more for notes. For example, 3 years ago, we could sell a note for 95, 98 cents on the dollar. Today's market, if we can get 80 or 85 cents, we're jumping up and down.
Right.
So it's that the competitiveness of the investors that are going to be out there, the institutional investors, that's going to make this business grow even more. In addition, because it's so tough for people to get loans now on properties, there's a ton more seller financing going on. We've seen it. We have statistics that show that the amount of seller carrybacks, even last year in 2011, went way up from 2010. So there's more seller finance notes out there. There's more notes out there than any of us can handle. The few of us that are left in the industry, the only reason we've survived over the last few years without using institutional funds and those larger investors is we have a network of private investors, you know, individuals like myself and others that have, you know, self-directed IRAs that are buying notes for their own portfolio. That's how we've been surviving the last few years, is using those types of private investors with their own self-directed IRAs. So that's why we see it coming back so much. And once the market stabilizes, you know, a lot of our deals are getting canceled these days because of low appraisals. They're not appraising for what they sold for 6 months ago. They're not appraising for what they sold for 3 months ago. So once the market stabilizes and we can start getting appraisals for what the property sold for, we're going to close that many more deals. And that's all going to happen. You know, those combination of investors stepping back in, the market stabilizing, and all those notes out there, those tons and tons of notes out there, those three things are making it, you know, prime for the next couple of years for the note business just to really take off.
Wow, that's really exciting. Very, very interesting how that cycle works and how it impacts your industry that way. Now, you coach students on how to understand the note industry, how to do it. You teach them how to be brokers, and then you also teach them how to buy notes themselves and, you know, manage the whole industry and run it as a business. And you've created a very successful seminar business. And a lot of maybe people listening to our call right now, they may not be in the real estate market. They may be in other entrepreneurial ventures. And I'd love for you to share kind of the secrets of how you build and how you've built that seminar business.
Well, being completely honest here, my secrets of paper workshops, the seminars that I do, the workshops I do, I didn't do any last year because it's been so hard to put butts in the seats. But we started that, I think, in the early 2000s. And when people want the information, you know, they will come. I'm not an expert on the workshop business. I do like to go out and speak, and I'm on a pretty good circuit where I get to go out and speak, you know, across the country. At least once a month, I'm speaking to some real estate group somewhere about something to do with notes and motivation and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it takes time. It takes time to build your credibility. You have to be seen as an expert in whatever it is that you're speaking about. You have to follow up with your students. I think part of the reason why I've been successful with my secrets of paper is that once that workshop's over, I'm not gone. I'm still here. You can still email me. You can call me. We're going to work with you until you get that first and second and third deal closed. And even after that, I'm here if they need me for help or assistance or anything like that. Because the bottom line is, I mean, when I do workshops, I want people to bring notes to me that I can buy. You know, we want to buy notes. And one way to get notes is to have brokers bring them to us. So I'm not trying to hide anything there. Yes, we want to buy the notes that you find. We're not going to buy all of them, but, you know, you're free to go out and find other investors and things as well. But we like to build that relationship with our students and have our students turn into brokers and then have our brokers turn into investors themselves. I have a couple students of mine just this last year. I discovered they're my competition, you know, and that's fine. There's plenty for all of us to go around. I mean, it's not going to hurt my business that they're investing in notes now. And actually, I just sold one of them a note last month. So it all goes around and comes around. There are people in this industry that are literally upset with me for the information that I share because it's like no industry secrets. You know, it's like, oh, you shouldn't tell anybody that. You shouldn't show them how we do that. And you know what? It's not going to hurt me. It's just going to help my business grow.
Right.
And why not tell everybody all the secrets and get it out there so we can get more business and feed the investors more notes? You know, all of the investors out there call me up every single month. Hey, Jeff, when are you going to send us some more notes? Well, as soon as I find some more, you know?
Yeah.
I can't satisfy their need.
Wow.
The money out there, there's no question the money out there is there to buy the notes with. It's just a matter of can we feed them enough notes? And obviously we can't. You know, we need more people in the industry. We need more brokers to go out there and find in those forests, and we need investors that, you know, might want to take a little bit more of a risk than an institutional investor might to buy some of these notes. It's just a the way that my workshops have panned out, it really has been an interesting education for myself to learn all about the process of, you know, getting people to attend your workshops and keeping in touch with them through the various social medias and stuff, and following up with them through, you know, drip email campaigns and things like that. I mean, I'm still learning. I am no expert at that side of it, but I think it's needed. I think that people need someone that, as we mentioned before, is a current practitioner in the business that shoots straight from the hip and will tell you, hey, you know what, that deal's just not going to work. You know what, don't spin your wheels on that. Oh, if you do that, it's not going to work. Or, hey, yeah, definitely, do it that way, do it this way. To get the people out there so that they can be successful and continue with the business rather than, oh, you know what, this doesn't work for me, let me try something else.
Right.
So I hope that answers the question. I guess I went off on a little tangent, but you know, the workshops and things that I do, you know, once or twice a year I'll do my own Secrets of Paper workshops. Those are there for the people that want them, and the ones that attend those usually go out and create a very successful note business.
Right. And, you know, and I think that's, you know, thank you for sharing that whole insight on it, because you're open to sharing that there's still things to learn in areas of your business that you're growing. But really the fact that you want to be out there educating people the right way, giving the secrets, because when the industry as a whole learns the right thing, everybody rises to the top. Because then if people are doing it wrong, it's not helping anybody in your industry or the real estate industry for that matter. So I think and it's phenomenal to know that you come from that much of the moral character to help entrepreneurs, and that's why you're so successful, and that's why you have your students, you know, doing phenomenal things. It's like Jim Rohn said, the best teacher is shows up when, or I don't know the exact quote, but where he says that when the students surpass the teacher's phenomenal. So, I mean, it's very exciting to know that you take that much pride in your industry. And, you know, what I'd like to just ask you is, because since you have been in this industry for so many years and you've survived in different economic climates, what are the secrets that you can share with entrepreneurs listening on how to be successful as an entrepreneur? I mean, what are the kind of core basic things you have to master?
Well, I'm gonna answer that, and it's probably not going to be any secret, but, you know, maybe a lot of people say the same things. But I have to tell you, when I was 15 years old, someone gave me the book Think and Grow Rich. And if you haven't read that book, I mean, it was written in the 30s, but everything in it still applies today. And I have used that as the cornerstone to be successful in my life. For entrepreneurs out there, that Think and Grow Rich book really laid out for me in almost a step-by-step pattern of what a successful person, what attributes a successful person has. So I would try to emulate those successful traits. I would try to become habitual. I would try to become a quick, decisive person who makes decisions quickly. I would try to become a leader. And trying to do all these different 13 qualities that leaders have really kind of shaped me into the person that I am today. So for people that are entrepreneurs or think they're entrepreneurs, number one, you know, read Think and Grow Rich and follow it by the book. One of the things in the book is a goal statement. And people say, I make goals, I write my goals down. Well, in the book, it has you write down your goal statement, it has you tape it to your bathroom door, you read it every morning when you get up, and you read it every night before you go to sleep so that your subconscious mind starts working on ways for you to become successful. And I'm not going to get into a whole, you know, thing here, but really take a look at what it means to be an entrepreneur and what it means to, there's a new word out there, to be a solopreneur, you know.
Right.
I basically do work from home. I set my own schedule. I do what I want to do when I want to do it and have the money to do it with. And because I'm an entrepreneur, now that things have been clicking and working for me and I've been persistent at it, knowing that it would work, knowing that deep down that my desire to have a successful note business was always there, that has propelled me on to be here now for 21 years in the same industry.
Wow.
So the secret's no secret.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the real secret to entrepreneurs that are successful is comes down to one thing, and that's a burning desire to succeed. And that's the number one thing in Think and Grow Rich's book, in Napoleon Hill's book, and that's the number one thing that I really think that separates the people that are watching the game, the people that are out there playing the game, is that if you have a burning desire to succeed and you have a specific targeted place where you want to end up, that will drive you on to get you where you want to be. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. No, thank you for sharing that, because just what you talked about, it's not anything about the how. It's about your desire and your passion, and that's what's kept you through, you know, all of the years that you've been in the industry. So that's phenomenal advice. So thank you so much for all of your insight in the note industry. And where can people find out more about you, Jeff?
Well, they can check out our website, armstrongcapital.com, and our workshop website is secretsofpaper.com. You know, I'll add one more thing. A lot of people say, oh, I can't do that, I can't do this. And what I've taught my girls, you know, from since they can talk, is you can't. There's no such word as can't. It's not I can't, it's how can I. And if you can change your frame of mind around that and change the way you look at things and ask yourself how can I instead of saying I can't, things will start to happen. Your brain will open it up for you. Things will be available to you that you've never seen before by just trying to ask yourself, how can I do this? And your brain will come up with ways for you to do it.
Absolutely. The power of the subconscious mind is phenomenal. And I love that advice. That's great. So, you know, thank you, Jeff, so much for coming on the show. If you guys want to head over to chrisgilbertson.com, I'll have all of Jeff's profile, all of his information, where you can find out more about him. And again, this is Chris with the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful and give you tips, advice through millionaire and expert interviews to help you along with your entrepreneurial journey. So you go out and have a great day.